Welcome to Radio Tony and the Passion Project. Join us live each week as we journey into the world of passion. Want to live life passionately? Finding your passion could be the difference between living life in the everyday and living life with meaning and purpose. Take these weekly lessons into life and business. Interact with your host, Tony Lontis, and her Passion Project facilitator, Peter Wallman, as we conduct a passion mapping exercise with Tony live on air. Passion is everything. Good morning, everyone, and good evening to those listeners in LA, America, where we're streaming live with BBS Radio. This morning on Radio Tony and Passion Project, we have the gorgeous Natasha Morales from New Zealand. And Natasha is a certified passion mapping coach, a Kundalini yoga and meditation teacher, and she works with people in those areas, but she also wants to share with you that these powerful modalities have been instruments in putting her onto the path of joy, growth, and real fulfillment. She never knew that the real her existed until she started on this path. So, Natasha, I really want to talk to you this morning about how you got into the journey with Passion Maps.
Hi, Tony. Thank you. I was reflecting on how my journey started, and I realized that I did my Passion Map with Peter in 2012. My son was 1 year and 9 months old, and I was living in Bangkok in Thailand. And I asked my husband if he would take care of my son, of our son. And I took a plane to Tasmania to do the passion mapping training with Peter. I did my personal passion map, and I also trained to be a passion map coach.
Wow, that's incredible. What drew you to the concept of passion maps? What got you interested?
Yeah, so good question. I felt like I was at a real transition point in my life. You could say that I was burnt out, I was sick. I had kind of like, what do I want to do in my life work syndrome? How can I, who am I syndrome? But I'd had that for a long time. And I guess it just all came to a head. I'd been in Thailand 2 years. I'd had some intense experiences, I'm just trying to get my coaching business up and running again, but not being able to get a work permit. Had really intense time during the birth of my son. It was during the riots in Thailand. And I just, I felt like my life force wasn't, I was just tired and couldn't find the energy I needed. And I really wanted something to re-spark me. And so a friend of mine who does, who was also a coach, she had just come back from a program with Peter, and she told me about it, and I thought, that's it. I want to do that.
Yeah. You want to find out what your passions are so you can make sure that that's the life path that you're following. Were you doing the Kundalini yoga and meditation in Thailand, and you were trying to move into coaching in those areas?
No, I wasn't yet doing the meditation and coaching. So actually, I kind of credit the passion mapping for starting kind of this more of an inner journey search rather than an outer journey. Because I'd actually spent, many years living in many different parts of the world, searching out these experiences that would allow me to kind of find myself in some way. I lived in Australia for 4 years and been an Outward Bound instructor. I took I an outward bound instructor, you live in the Australian outback and
yes.
don't have showers for 10 days at a time and
yep,
things that like that.
Good.
I'd gone to Japan. I'd lived in Japan for 4 years and yeah. that had been really intense culturally.
Yes.
And I'd done lots. Yeah, I'd done my coach training. I was doing yeah. life and executive coaching. I'd done lots of personal development.
Yes.
And the Tony Robbins programs.
Yes.
I'd done fire walking and all yeah. kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
But for me, I kind of credit the passion mapping with the search for myself, kind of moving from an outward search.
Yes.
To more of an inward search. And it's kind of the passion, one of the passion mapping elements in particular for me that led me to the Kundalini yoga, you could say.
Yeah. Yeah. So for our listeners and viewers today, have you got a simple explanation of what doing your own passional map has given you? And does it keep you current having done it once? Do you update it? What's that like for you, Natasha?
Yeah, so first I'll answer the first part of the question.
Yes.
For me, the passion map was yes. kind of like getting a screenshot of my soul.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So, and it was the most comprehensive, cohesive screenshot that I'd had. And remember, I'd done all these things like Outward Bound, values journeys, coaching.
Tony Robbins, bar walking spree.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
But I found that this process that Peter founded was just so comprehensive in terms of going, it kind of like translated
yes.
who I was into words and images that my mind could grasp.
Yes. Yes.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It so, does.
So I'd never found that before in other modalities. So it then suddenly gave me I like, being an ex-Outward Bound instructor, I like to say it gave me the map, right?
Cause yes.
if you're going to go into the outback without a map, well, I mean, that's okay if you want to have a bit of an adventure, I guess, but actually.
Big adventure.
if you're intending to get anywhere, you want to have a good map. So that's how I think of passion maps in a way.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, this is me, Okay, I can see it now. Even though you kind of have a sense of what it is, it's
yeah.
different than when you come out with a physical sort of, thing, unique pattern in your hands that
yeah.
is you.
Yes. Yeah, so, Natasha, yeah, do you use your passion map to make decisions around life and business? So do you
yeah.
come up against a big decision and then look at your map and go, well, that actually doesn't align with me? Is that how you use it as well?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. That's how I actually credit passion maps with leading me to Kundalini yoga. Because
uh-huh.
I stumbled on Kundalini yoga in a way, they were offering
yes.
free classes at the Marriott Hotel and I
yeah.
tried it and I was like,
well, yeah.
this is crazy. Like, what is this? Because it's not mainstream yoga. But when I thought about the experience it gave me and I thought about one of the big elements on my map, it turns out that for me, that was important was purposeful connection. And what I realized was that that purposeful connection actually had to start with connection to myself.
Yes.
And the Kundalini yoga gave me this experience of connection to myself that, again, I'd never had before in such a self-empowered way.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like, this really aligns with this element, it's like a connecting the dots. And so this was crazy too, because, I've been working as a coach and a trainer and,
yeah.
leadership efficiency. No, I wasn't doing that yet, but leadership training. Anyways,
yeah.
and
yeah.
then at 40, I decided
yeah.
to go train to be a Kundalini yoga and meditation teacher.
Can you explain for our listeners and those watching live online, what's the difference between Kundalini yoga and normal yoga? Is there something definite that makes it different from normal yoga?
Great question. Well, I think there's a lot of postures, breath work in common with mainstream yoga. But I would say a key difference is the focus. So mainstream yoga is often very posture focused. And Kundalini yoga, I often say that it's more energy focused. So we do use sets of exercises, uh-huh. breathing, chanting, but the whole purpose is to connect you to your core energy and raise that core energy so that you kind of develop higher levels of consciousness. So kind wow. of like, you know, when you go to, when I went to, this is my experience, because it's not everyone's yes. cup of tea, right? But when I went yeah. to a regular yoga class, I felt great yes. in my body, calm in my mind. But when I went to a Kundalini yoga class, I felt great in my body. And then I felt like I'd taken my mind and my spirit to the spa, you know, and had like cucumbers placed in my eyes yes. and like, had a massage for the mind and the soul. That's how I felt. Yeah. So I actually stumbled upon Kundalini yoga when my son was still, you know, just probably a few months after doing yeah. my passion mapping. Yes. And as a new mom, you have very little time for yourself, right?
Right.
And I thought,
definitely,
this is a good bang for my buck. I only have 2 hours. I've got a pass for 2 hours to go to yes. the gym. So I'm going to use it to not just do my mind, but, you know, my body, but I also, yes. I want that feeling of the spa for mind and soul.
Yes.
So for me, it just became this really comprehensive way to connect inward to that place. I think similar to passion mapping, really, because
yes.
passion mapping is also a place where you're really connected to your core energy. So I think yeah. they both work well together in that sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I often think that, you know, passion mapping, okay, I got the map, and then yes. The yoga, the Kundalini yoga and meditation are kind of the tools that allow me to keep on course with the map.
Oh, I see. So they're for you, they're inherently linked together, aren't they?
For me, they work really well together, yes.
Yeah. The passion map that you originally did back in that retreat with Peter, has it changed any, or has it remained steady and the same for you?
So I had the wonderful opportunity in the 2018 Bali Bombora that Peter organized yeah. uh-huh. to refresh my passion map with Jill, this beautiful master coach.
Yes.
And it was so powerful to refresh it, Tony, because yes. I noticed that things had changed, but not, you know, I guess they changed in the sense of, at the beginning I had 26 elements, and when I redid it, they collapsed into 15 or 16 elements.
Oh,
so
they
collapsed, for me, they collapsed into each other, and my sort of pattern or my metaphor also changed, and it gave me real insight into the sort of development of my psyche in the yes. 5 years between the maps.
Okay.
So, maybe I can give you just a really short example.
Yes, please.
Okay, so in my first map, I had this metaphor that I was like this beautiful flower growing on a hard cliff rock face.
Yes, okay? Yes.
So you can imagine how life for a beautiful flower on a hard rock face is pretty tough.
Yeah. Tough.
And lonely, right? You feel
yes.
And I felt at that time, Tony, when I reflected, that my life was a real struggle. Like I struggled yes. to, like I was in this survival mode every day with my energy and with, just didn't have that
yes.
sort of gusto for life. So doing my second passion map, my metaphor transformed into being this lotus flower. But this time I wasn't alone. I was in a pond
filled
with other lotus flowers.
Yeah.
And I was just one of those flowers that contributed to the beauty of that pond. And on top of it, this was a really core part of my map, was that I was, connected to that murky sort of bottom of the
mud
pond.
At the bottom of the pond.
The mud, exactly, the mud. But the mud was nutrient rich and was feeding me and holding me and allowing me to float on the surface of the water, feeling so light and wonderful. And it just showed me, so you can imagine how life for that flower is, feeling like you're doing your bit for the world, feeling held, feeling like you can, you know, go in to restore, come out to give. So just completely different. And it just showed me how much I'd evolved in terms of really, I guess, meeting those passion elements that I wanted to bring into my life.
And that's been key for you, isn't it? In not just doing the passion map itself, it's in keeping your life aligned with those unique passions that are particular to you and your life.
Yes. So I think redoing it, refreshing it, and it just gave me extra clarity on what were those important elements. And I have to say that since I've refreshed my map, I've been really disciplined now at, after I do my daily meditation, I sit and I actually go through all the elements of my passion map and visualize them. And it's just become a real integral part of reminding me each day, you know, what it is that I want from my life. Because, you know, I don't know if you're like me, but I often wake up in the morning and I am not into getting up.
Yeah, I'm not a morning person either. I agree with you, Natasha. Just so you know, honey, we have lost your video, but your voice is still crystal clear. So I've just kept going with our interview because I think it's important for our listeners to hear what you have to say. There we go. It's back again. Yay. Awesome. I didn't want to interrupt. We're having such a lovely conversation. I'm not a morning person either, but you found that this sort of helped you get up and get moving?
Well, I've found that, often I'll wake up and just be like, blah, and be totally like not into my day, down on myself for whatever reason, all kinds of mental chatter going on in there.
Yeah.
So for me, again, the yoga and the passion mapping work together. I shortly after getting up, I'll do my daily meditation, and I always end with then visualizing my passion map, which previous to refreshing it, I don't know, for whatever reason, I had my passion map there on my wall.
Yes.
And would try and look at it, but it wasn't a daily thing. And I think there is that danger of having the map and then forget about it, about it, right? Like if you could have the map and put it under the bed and then it's no use.
It's no use. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
So you have it somewhere where you can see it and reflect on it daily, and that's become important to you.
Yeah. Well, I have to say that I don't need the visual anymore because it's so ingrained in my mind that I just sit and it's like a ritual now. I'll go through each element and I'll be like, oh, right. You said you were going to say yes to more play. And yesterday you were really grumpy about playing with your son. So it does help me reframe my day and go, that's it. That's what I want from my day.
And so now you help others on the same or similar journeys, don't you, Natasha?
Yeah. So I have to say I do other types of work. So this hasn't been my main work, but I teach regular yoga at a studio here in Auckland. And now I want to start some live online classes since everyone's on lockdown.
Yeah.
And And I love the passion mapping work. And I have the clients that I've done it with, I've felt that it's been something really special for them.
And again, that's the purpose of Radio Tony and the Passion Project, is that we are showing people how important grasping what you're passionate about and integrating it into your life is. And so by interviewing coaches and experts in passion mapping each week before we talk about my own journey, it's important in showing people how this can change your life. So you've continued helping others, and I know you have been involved with some of Peter's retreats and the most recent one to Bali. What was that like for you, Natasha?
Well, it was a real privilege to be there contributing and being a participant on that retreat and continuing to learn from Peter and the passion mapping processes. Because as you know, they're not just individual. You can do them in couples,
organizations,
organizations and groups. And I was able to contribute by offering some morning yoga classes to help people get into that space. Also, I ran a workshop on sort of uncovering your hidden self as well, a yoga workshop. But I think that, you know, is also important to recognize. You might have the map, but are there things that you need to look at, you know, things that are holding you back? That even though you have the map, you're just not going to progress on them if you don't deal with the shadow, so to speak. So I think that's another type of work that we can do to enhance our ability to put that, you know, activate the map fully.
So now you do your work with passion mapping, kundalini, yoga, and meditation. And I know for myself, how important there's meditations for every event. There's meditations for every feeling that you feel. There's meditations for everything. So there's actually no excuse for anyone not to try meditation. And it's the one thing that I know that is successful in quieting that mind chatter. And particularly for women, your mind is just going hell for leather conversations all the time. It never shuts up, but via meditation. And I just wanted to know, is it the same for you, Natasha? Because you're a mum and a busy working mum. Does meditation have that same impact for you?
Absolutely. And I think this is why it's really helped to bring my mind. You know, the yogic philosophy is that your mind should be, you should be the master of your mind, not let the mind be the master of you. I have to say, my mind would take me down these rabbit holes, down these sabotaging strategies. And meditation, that regular practice, has helped me learn to discipline my mind and go, okay, I hear you, but, you know, we don't need that right now. So let's bring our focus back to here. So, yes, so I'm offering today as part of the free resources a meditation, which because anyone can meditate, but there's so many different styles, and it's just finding one that you like.
Agreed.
And honestly, you can start with 3 minutes a day, but it does get you into that space where you kind of go, okay, quiet mind. You know, let's come from the heart. Let's come from an integrated place. What do I need so that I can act without my mind taking off on me? So I can act instead of react, I guess. That would be a better way of putting
it. We could have a whole show on meditation quite easily and what it does for the mind, body, and soul. Natasha's got a special 5-minute meditation called Meditation for a Calm Heart. And for those listening and watching, you'll find that on the passionmaps.com website, and it's passionmaps.com/meditation-for-a-calm-heart/. And that's a gift for those listening today. And it's done by Natasha, and it will help you calm yourself. And Natasha, before we run out of time, you've got a beautiful website. So do you want to tell our listeners and watchers a bit more about that website and what sort of things people can find, what sort of resources there are on your website?
Well, I have to say, Tony, it's brand new and in the making, but it is at www.natashamorales.co.nz. And yep. It is a place where people can connect with me if they wish and perhaps join an online yoga class.
Online yoga and meditation.
Yes, online yoga. Well, we're all going online now, aren't we? So I just think it is a wonderful opportunity to reach people in all corners of the world.
I agree. What better way than have a virus that causes people to be in lockdown and go online and discover things about themselves, discover their passions, partake in online yoga, online meditation? There should be no excuse for everyone not to give this a go. So just another mention that natashamorales.co.nz, because Natasha's in New Zealand, and you can find that guide for a calm heart at passionmaps.com/meditation-for-a-calm-heart. It will be on the Passion Maps website. It's on Natasha's website. It'll be on Radio Tony website. And any time you can contact any of us as part of this show and just say, oh, where was that lovely meditation? So Natasha, you have online resources for people to tap into. You do your coaching online now as well?
Yes, so I will be doing my coaching online now as well. There aren't many resources there yet, but yes, watch this space.
Yes. Yes, yeah. So you were predominantly doing things offline and face-to-face before the virus, and this has caused you to do the pivot like everyone else?
Well, yes. I mean, the main thing is that Peter has given it his blessing, right, to do this online.
Yes.
And I'm so excited about that because, you know, I used to live in Australia and in Thailand and had clients there. But obviously I couldn't offer them the passion mapping or even a passion mapping refresher online. I didn't want to do that without Peter's blessing. But now, you know, Peter's honing the techniques, passing them on to us. I just think it's a really exciting time, like you say, Tony, for people to do that inner work so that they can, come out and be, you know, shine their light, contribute to our world.
That's exactly right. And to be part of Peter's first experiment, if you like, in seeing what works doing it online versus face-to-face is fascinating and interesting for me as well. And having the opportunity to talk to all of his wonderful network of people that work in passion mapping that's been a fabulous thing too. So Natasha, thank you so much for taking the time to join us on Radio Tony and the Passion Project today. I appreciate you've come taking time out of your day to join us, and it's been just beautiful talking to you. And just to mention to our listeners today, don't forget to jump on that free meditation that Natasha's done especially for us. It's called Meditation for a Calm Heart, available on passionmaps.com and natashamorales.co.nz on Radio Tony later today. And once again, Natasha, thank you. I'm going to see if Peter wants to jump on and say hi as well before we let you go. Are you there, Peter?
Yes, I am. How beautiful How beautiful to see you, Natasha, and hear you speak so beautifully. I'm so proud of you. It's beautiful.
We're really grateful that you had time to join us today, Natasha, and thank you so much for coming on the show and telling us about your Kundalini yoga meditation and, of course, your wonderful passion mapping process and what that's meant for you in your life. So, Natasha, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you, Tony. It's been a real privilege. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Tony.
We have a an interesting day yesterday. So we were going to do a wonderful worldwide training session with Peter's team ahead with the first part of my passion mapping process. And we had glitches and technology that wouldn't work for us. So we had to start, restart. And in the end, Peter and I ended up redoing that yesterday afternoon, which was a very powerful time for me. And so, Peter, what would you like to tell our listeners about that session we had yesterday afternoon?
Well, I think it was a wonderful session. It was about refining your passions, basically, yeah. And the qualities that can bring them alive. And one of the things that we've discovered, is how important it is to get to the essence of what your passions are.
Yes.
And when you do, when you get to this sweet spot, there's so much energy is released. And our intention is to ultimately use that energy to take you to a place of deep inner connection and a place of deep wholeness.
Yeah.
Natasha mentioned comprehensiveness, and part of this whole process has been, what about the whole of me? And as she said, yeah. She's done all sorts of programs, and once we get on the personal, development or evolution journey,
it becomes a bit addictive, doesn't it?
It tends to be, and there've been a lot of people who've actually ended their journey here.
Yes.
Because they've got what they wanted, which even if they didn't know that's what they were seeking, which is a deep sense of themselves.
Yeah.
So I think we'll be talking about that more next week. But
yes.
What we're doing is using the power of the energy of your passions almost to go upstream. Go to the place where they emanate from, like the source of your very existence almost. It's like certainly the source of your creativity, intuition, clarity of making decisions, all sorts of things come from this place of certainty about oneself and the whole of oneself. And so we're not in there yet in terms of getting that together, but we're putting the components of that together.
Yeah.
We're investigating, what is it that brings you alive? And what's the essence of all those things that bring you alive? So that's what we did yesterday in terms of the conversation and the interviewing process.
The thing that I found most fascinating was how there was a body or energy reaction to some of the wording. So as we were going through the elements of the passions that I'd chosen, some of the wording around those particular passions resonated or made me more excited than the other wording. Do you want to describe, Peter, why that is?
Well, I think we're hitting the sweet spot. I mean, I think everyone's aware these days that if the body and mind are connected. And the dilemma with the mind is it goes round and round, competes against itself, it's busy, it's thinking about, taking the kids to school at the same time, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
So, and I think it's particularly so for women. I think they tend to have busier minds. They tend to have busier lives often.
Yeah.
So if you go into the body mind through the body, you get one answer. You get one experience. You get one energetic experience. You don't get a number of ideas that clash with each other that can go round and round and round. Yeah. I do do this first. Is this more important? Blah, blah, blah. So that's what we're doing. We're going into the body mind through the body, and the body doesn't lie, and it only gives one answer.
Yeah.
But there's a certain precision we need to get there. There's a certain precision we need to be able to work with almost like the channels of energy yes. that bring you alive.
Yeah.
I don't know why that is, it just is. So if we can get to the sweet spot in all of the things that bring you alive, then it's a much more powerful experience. And that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. Yeah. And maybe you give a couple of examples of how words, particular phrases, came to life for you. You know, that's, and maybe even what they started with.
Yeah. So I hopefully that this is my favorite one. And that was the first one that Peter, and that's what the little discs look like that we put the different elements on. And my number one in my life is moments of joy and gratitude. And it will probably remain my favorite one because it goes across all elements of my life. And as soon as we started talking, this was in relation to something else. We were talking about travel and my love for travel. And as Peter dissected the word travel, he asked me questions. How does it make you feel? What is it that lights up your life when you travel? And as we explored that further, it was this moments of joy and gratitude that came out most strongly. And then it wasn't just about the travel, that moments of joy and gratitude was across my life. As we, the more we started to talk about it and tease out the elements of what it was that I was passionate about. And again, it kept coming up, and it was the moments of joy and gratitude, no matter where I was, whether I was traveling or at home or anywhere around my farm. And I knew clearly. So before going into the session with Peter, I wasn't quite sure how it would work. But as he started to talk me through each of the things that I had on my list, it became very clear what it was and what the words were that lit me up, made me feel passionate, because it was a body response, that fast heart rate, that feeling of excitement. And it was very clear to me. I wasn't expecting that. I was thinking that there would be a bit of to and fro and it wouldn't be so clear, but it was definitely clear in the way Peter guided me through those elements to get the key ones out. So moments of joy and gratitude. And then the next one we worked out was standing in brilliance. And again, it started off as a conversation around my joy of travel, and it led into what it means to be standing in brilliance. And that translates to listening to wonderful people on radio, listening to great speakers, reading great books. All of those things are components of standing in brilliance or feeling in brilliance. And I have to say that I'm only just starting this passion mapping process. So these may change or evolve as we go further down the process. But again, I was really fascinated to know that I felt really clearly when we were talking around the words, that the words had such power and the framing of the words had such power. And that is unique to every person, isn't it, Peter?
Yeah, I mean, it's good that you got that feeling, because most people don't think of words as having an energetic underpinning.
Yeah.
I guess if you think of an orator, you know, their words are actually affecting a lot of people, so it must have that sort of impact. But we all have that capacity to use words in a way that are inspiring, or we can use words in a way that are deadening.
Yeah.
And I think one of the issues that comes up with that is that our own self-talk is so important. Because I can see in you, when you talk about moments, your moments disc, moments of joy and gratitude, your face lights up, you come alive.
Yeah.
And so every time you think that, your body actually acts that way. And but if you had the same thing saying, oh, interesting, you know, interesting events,
yeah,
which doesn't have that same spark, you don't spark yourself. So it's really lovely to know what it is around that sort of almost unlocks the pathway to that energy of passion. And yeah. and I it brings me back to when I started this business and standing on a disc out of frustration, really, and finding I had a really strong physical experience. Now, this is a while ago before, you know, a lot of modern techniques have come up, but words yeah. have power.
They do.
And it also gives me an extraordinary respect for the words that I use.
Yes.
Because my words not only have power with me, but they have power for someone else. Yeah. And if I want to help to elevate them as part of my life purpose, I need to use words that elevate me first. And that in turn can elevate them. And so each of these elements of yours, Tony, is a way of not only elevating yourself, but elevating people around you when you use them.
Yeah.
And we're sort of proving that by the embodiment of them. So this session was really about exploring to getting to the essence. And then in the next session, we actually blow that experience up into your whole body.
Yeah.
And then we bring all of those together. And so, you know, people have never, you know, I don't know anyone who's, thousands of people done passion maps. No one's ever been to the place before of having that all happening at once.
Yeah.
We're used to one of these happening, you know, we're used to good things happening and exciting things happening,
yeah.
but they're sort of one-off.
Yeah.
It's not the same as when we get into a frame of mind where we're using negative language and it just spirals down because that connects. Like negative things connect with negative things. Positive things don't connect as much with positive things. Mm. And so when we do bring them together, it's almost a device to have an experience, an yeah. amplified sense of what brings you alive.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful for facilitator. I mean, I'm there sort of facilitating, but in some ways, you know, I can't not share your joy of finding a phrase that just lights you up.
Yeah.
And
we had a lovely conversation about one of mine was fighting injustice. And we had a lovely conversation again about the words that we use. And we changed it to fighting for justice versus fighting injustice, injustice being the negative connotation. And that was also interesting for me to reframe some of the wording around those qualities so that they were more powerful and meaningful and derived much more of a passionate response. Is that the same for everyone, Peter?
Yeah, and I would also remark that you changed fighting, if you recall.
Oh, yes, I did.
But that was the first one, that was the first step, and then there was another step after
that. That's right.
Maybe you
and
like
I'm trying to remember what we changed it to. I'm shuffling in my little discs here, people. I apologize for that noise.
I can answer your question. I could find it, but I wasn't expecting to be going through details.
Yeah, no, that's all right.
Needless to say, that it was changed to a word that was more inspiring for you.
Yes,
we're looking. The whole process is about expansion. It's not about contraction.
Yes.
So that when a phrase or something contracts you, then we work with, well, what's the opposite of that? And it's because it takes a lot of energy to be in negativity.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of energy to hold that. It's not our natural space. So if we can get around the back of it, we release all this life force in a way. So yeah. Is it the same for everybody? Yes.
Okay.
I would say one thing, though, that I have a saying after doing these, that the most creative expression of many, many people is how they stop themselves, the creative ways they generate to stop yeah. themselves being as great as they can be.
Yes, yes, yes.
And, of course, the role of the facilitator or the coach is to speak to their greatness and to find a way to connect with their greatness past all of the things that they put up.
Yeah.
So it's common for people to say, well, I don't know. But then yeah. if you ask them, well, if you did know, what would it be? And then suddenly they know often.
Yes.
Because you're flipping from left to right brain.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of sort of, I guess, sophistication in the process.
Yeah.
Which enables it all to come together in such a seamless way. But people are so, so different. I mean, it's just,
yes.
it's such a privilege to really enter the inner realms of someone. We really seek connection, deep connection with friendships, with family.
Yeah.
And this process, you know, as a coach, it takes me straight to that place that people might spend years trying to get to.
Yeah. Peter, do you think that people discovering their own personal passion map leads to a level of greatness, or another word for greatness, it leads to them to a place that they may never have been before, simply because they now know without a shadow of a doubt that that's what incites passion in their lives?
Absolutely. And I don't think there is a better word than greatness to yeah. go with passion. If you yeah. Google passion and greatness, you'll have plenty of quotes will come up. We put yeah. out daily quotes. Anyone can actually go to our website and get
I was
daily.
Just I but, got I don't know if you can see this, but a little while ago I did a retreat, and one of the little cards that I pulled out was I manifest greatness. Which has just, having the conversation with you this morning has just reminded me that I had that card sitting on my desk for the best part of a year now. So interesting.
Yeah, I think when you think of the word greatness, I mean, you can't really get any greater than greatness, can you?
No, that's it. That's the pinnacle, isn't it?
And you have to be almost complete. So the passion map just identifies all the ways in which you expand, you become more of who you can be, and so you do, it does create greatness, I'm sure. And yeah. and it's really a question of whether you're prepared to go to the next steps and let go of what's stopping you.
Yeah.
And dealing with, and we all have all these ways that we stop ourselves, we sabotage ourselves from our greatness. So yeah. passion maps is the first step, in the sense that you do have a deep experience of your own greatness.
And you think that,
sorry?
You think that all humans have that capacity for greatness. It just looks different and unique in everyone.
Yeah, I mean, I think if people have some disadvantages, people on drugs.
Yeah.
And that would include smoking and drinking. Yeah. And if they actively do that, they're actually sabotaging themselves from it, because they don't function fully. And yeah. A little bit is fine, you know, but too much. So to work with an alcoholic, for example, is very, very difficult in this work.
Have you ever had that opportunity? Have you been ever called to work with people with deep level addiction?
I haven't done so much, but Joe, who you interviewed last week,
yes,
her specialty is addiction. So she'd yeah. be a much better person to answer that. But I'll give you a little anecdote. I once did a passion map for a guy who was he wasn't quite a billionaire, but he was pretty close. And he'd sold his business. Yeah. And he was one of these people who the casinos wanted in their big roll-up yeah. room, because he had millions to lose, or to money. Anyway, I actually worked in a casino in Sydney, you know, in his big suite that he was given free, and had been flown out from Hong Kong free, first class.
Right.
Right. That's how they treat these guys, because it's peanuts compared with what they can lose.
Yeah.
So I did it in his apartment, in his suite, which I normally don't do, but I did. And then after he'd finished, he said, I don't need to gamble anymore.
Wow.
He just had this insight that, you know, gambling was stopping him from his own self.
Wow.
And I thought, well, this work, we'd be hard pressed to get a casino to be a sponsor for our work, I think.
I was just thinking that.
So it was a very memorable moment. A lot of addiction is a disconnect from self. A lot of anxiety is disconnect from self.
Yeah.
Certainly a lot of depression is disconnect from self.
Yeah.
We have one of our coaches is the go-to person in her particular small city, and she gets referrals for all the people with depression that don't, that the shrinks and the psychologists and people can't deal with. And she uses her own stuff, but she also uses passion maps, and usually she has a positive outcome with them.
Okay.
Because the process is, you know, I think a lot of depression, there's different types of depression, but a lot of it is disconnection with self and being stuck in one's head.
Yes. And yes.
In thoughts that go round and round and round and down and down and down. And so if you can do that, and if you can have, you know, once you've done your map, you'll realize that you can go back to the state that Natasha was describing, of that inner, yes, connectedness. And I think we live in a world that basically stops us in many ways from being connected.
Agreed.
And it's a shame. And one of the wonderful things about this lockdown is that many people are going there now. They've got all this time, you know, they're finding out who they are, maybe, yes, for the first time in their life.
And that's a powerful thing for humanity and the earth and the world. Powerful, yeah, thing.
Yeah. So it's exciting for me.
Yeah. Now, Peter, you have a couple of wonderful giveaways for our listeners and viewers today. Do you want to tell us about those?
Yeah, one, we talked about the precision of language, and I call that like the poetry of passion.
Yes.
What we were working with yesterday was your poetic nature in a way, that the words didn't come from your head. They really came from your heart.
Yeah.
If they just came from your head, they wouldn't inspire you like they did. So I call that the poetry passion. And so I've actually taken a chapter out of my book, The Wisdom of Passion, about the poetry of passion.
Yeah.
And you can download that. And there's also another interesting video you can download as well. So I'm proposing to just give things away. And if people stay with the process here, they'll get lots of benefits, not only in the show, but also,
yeah,
through the giveaways.
And Peter's little poetry of passion is available on the Passion Maps website. And the other little video is called Building a Personal Quality. And they're really great little intros to finding your passion and passion maps, particularly the poetry of passion. So I started looking at that already today. And Peter has lots of wonderful videos on the passionmaps.com website. And all the freebies that we talk about on the show are readily available on passionmaps.com. So Peter, we are fast approaching our time up today. And anything else you wanted to say about, so I'm at the early stages of my passion mapping process. We have a fair way to go in my process, but I'm loving it so far. And okay, I'm feeling incredibly privileged that Peter is my coordinator and he's my facilitator. And so here's the model. It's called the deep dive model. And Peter will show you and explain where I am in the process so far.
Yeah, this is where we're going on this journey. We began, Tony had a clear intention, which holds. Asking others is finding out what the perception of other people is about the best of Tony. Passion Exploration is a workbook which she completed. And the session we had yesterday was Passion Discovery.
Yeah.
So we're starting to go to this universal field of energy. And yeah. then next down, we actually go fully into it and create the map and this create. And it's really, you know, this place of who is Tony underneath yeah. being a radio commentator, underneath being a woman, underneath having habits, underneath, you know, underneath being,
yeah.
who am I at essence? And again, hopefully that, then we take that up, we go through. That's an amazing experience, but it's no use unless we can put it to use. So the other side of this curve is a various number of steps in terms yeah. of bringing that into my life, bringing that into your life. So if you're listening, it's not so easy, but you can always email me at peter@passionmaps and ask for a copy. But it's maybe I can put it on the website as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a great graphic to show the journey of going in and finding and coming out the other side. And, I'm really excited that we have partnered together to do this so that we can show people that you can do it online versus person to person. And that's something that Peter wanted to drive for the Passion Mapping Network of coaches and facilitators so that they can do this work worldwide. And again, finding the passion that drives you in your life is an incredibly powerful tool. And we want to just thank everyone for joining us live on the show this week, listening in, watching in, and following this journey. It's been fabulous. And Peter, for his wonderful facilitation of the session so far. I just find myself excited and learning every week about what makes me tick. And I thought that I had a pretty reasonable handle on that, but I'm slowly discovering more and more.
Well, thanks, Tony. And it's a joy to be working with you, and it's a joy to be here. So I love
that. We are having lots of fun so far, so that's good. Okay, everyone, we are out of time today. Thank you for listening and watching Peter and I and our earlier guest, Natasha Morales. Just a recap of the freebies. Natasha has a wonderful Calm Your Heart meditation available on her website, which is natashamorales.co.nz. The freebies or giveaways for Peter are on Passion Maps, and there is a little ebook and a wonderful video that will help you further explore this notion of passion driving our life. So until next week, when we join you all again live on BBS Radio, thank you so much, Peter and Natasha, and over to you now, Don. Thank you for joining us on Radio Tony this week. Tune in next week for the next episode of Radio Tony and The Passion Project. Live streaming each week, part of the journey. Discover your passion, learn about your purpose, and connect with Tony and Peter. This show is proudly brought to you by Passion Maps. https://www.passionmaps.com. That's www.passionmaps.com. Live passionately every day. Use the code TONY to register for your own online deep dive program with Passion Maps. See you all next week. Bye for now.